2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all having a good Tuesday.
Love the Killers.
You ever seen them in concert?
No, I'd love to. No, I haven't.
I hear they put on a heck of a show.
Saw the governor was tweeting about it.
Oh, governor's a big fan. Yeah,
I guess there's a concert coming around here pretty quick.
Yeah, he doesn't mess around. That's a big fan. He's a big fan of that. Hey, make sure to join us. We'll be live coming up tomorrow from Homey. If you're trying to really get that house you want, visit homey.com/buy to get started.
Yeah, they're going to make you a cash buyer. They've got a lot of options. The buy before you sell, which you actually use their cash to buy a home before you sell. So you can buy it, be settled, move in, empty out the house, sell it for top dollar, whatever you might need. There are people, Scotty, that need to buy right now. Some people are seeing rates jump all over the place. They're knowing that rates are going to continue to increase. They want to buy right now. Homie can help you do that. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow.
All right. So we referenced this a little bit, I think, yesterday on the show about the financials being released from the COVID year, 2020. That fiscal year that ran through essentially the fall of 2020 into the summer of 2021. So those financials have been released by the Pac-12, and to the Pac-12's credit, a lot of these conferences, because of tax purposes, somebody has to go in and request that information to get it. Like, you have to go through some work. Pac-12's like, you know what? Here it is. Instead of going and searching, we'll just present it. They sent out a press release that had all the info on it, and it did not paint a particularly pretty picture for Pac-12 schools.
Yeah, they were down $190 million year to year, and it's understandable. Would they play five games, six games?
Somewhere around there. I can't remember exactly how much University of Utah got in. I know they also decided, you know, they didn't want to play in a bowl game that year.
It was well down, but $190 million, and their distribution was way down. And I'm just looking at this.
Utah played five games that year.
Yeah. So 2021, 2020, they were paid $33.6 million. 2021, they were paid $19.8 million per school.
It went from 32 to 19.
Yeah, nearly 34 to 19.8.
Wow.
So a huge drop for Pac-12 schools. The spendings was bad. Hey, by the way, Scotty, you bring up a really good point with them announcing numbers. I think George Kliavkov is excited to open up books and say, everybody take a real good look at how ugly things got, because it's only up from here. And I think that is going to be the case. I think there was poor leadership.
Yeah.
And I think the Pac-12 was doing things and worrying about things that looked pretty frivolous in the eyes of some of these other universities and other conferences. Now, at the time, the Pac-12 could be judging those other conferences and being like, well, you are not following these guidelines, and you're putting this and this at jeopardy. And maybe that might be the case. Maybe the Pac-12 did save lives. I don't know. But the Pac-12 went about the COVID issues much differently, and it cost them a lot more.
Well, the thing that really bothered me, and you've got the numbers on the individual conferences, right?
Yeah.
The problem that I was always annoyed by throughout the entire process was it never appeared that the Pac-12 was ever a leader in any of this. They were always like, what's the Big Ten going to do? What's the Big Ten going to do? And I will, you know, look, we bang on the SEC and we get annoyed by it. But remember, there was a moment in the middle of summer in 2020 when there was a essentially a domino effect of all these conferences that were coming and saying, we're not going to play and we're not going to play football. And all of a sudden, and the first one was the Big Ten. And then all of a sudden, I think the ACC went. And then, but as soon as the Big Ten made their announcement, the Pac-12, like minutes later, goes, oh, yeah, we're not playing either. And then there was this big cascade of all these conferences that said, it's not safe. We can't play football in 2020. And then it got to the SEC, and the SEC's like, wait a minute. No. Hold up. I think we can. And we're not going to rush to any judgment here. We think we can do it. We think we can do it safely. And we're not going to pull the plug on this. And sure enough, it all stopped right there. And then the SEC said, no, we're going to go. And then the Big 12 is like, yeah, I think we're going to go too. And then about a month later, then the Big 10 is like, oh. And as soon as the Big 10 said, I think we can go, we're going to go. And then the Pac-12 is like, oh, yeah, us
we
too.
We can put some games
in. We can do that too. Let's go.
Yeah. Always the trail. Always the follower.
Yeah.
And that's why I love our first real indication that this new commissioner, George Klyavkov, might be a little bit more of a leader is the release that we saw in the subtraction of divisions. And the Pac-12 was the forefront of moving forward with taking divisions out. Now, there are some that are already done with the divisions, but the Pac-12 immediately announced that they're going to be changing things without anybody else approving it or anybody else saying anything about it. So that was an indicator that maybe the Pac-12 can get back on the right track with some good leadership. But these numbers are bad. The Pac-12 had less than half the distribution number than the SEC. SEC distributed $133 million. That's $133 million. The Pac-12 had $343 million. They were down $190 million fiscal year 2020 to 2021. They were down $190 million.
Which, as you pointed out, is about $14 million a team.
Yeah, a dramatic drop. So the SEC, in the meantime, you know, the movie Forrest Gump, when all the shrimp boats fall apart and get hit in the storm, and then you got Forrest Gump that's out there still shrimping, and all of a sudden he comes into the Bubba Gump shrimp because he's the only boat out there doing it. Well, I think the SEC kind of did that as they kind of captained their ship and continued to move on because they were plus $105 million fiscal year to fiscal year. So when the Pac-12 dropped $190 million, the SEC gained $105 million.
Which, again, is because they fulfilled their TV contract and played their full TV schedule.
When nobody else was out there doing it or trying to be responsible. And people are going to be on either end of the spectrum. Some are going to feel like the Pac-12 mismanaged it. Some are going to feel like the SEC mismanaged it.
Yeah.
And some are going to feel like the Pac-12 was too protective. Some are going to feel like the SEC were putting their players and coaches in jeopardy, in harm's way. You look at the fiscal distribution, and it doesn't really care what the pandemic was doing.
Yeah.
The fiscal distribution cares, well, okay, well, you guys – you still ran your games, and here's your money. And these schools made out like crazy. In fact, give you the number. So the SEC was able to distribute $54.6 million per school.
Oh, and the Pac-12 got 19.
$19.
Oh, no. Almost three times.
Plus an additional $23.3 million advance on future conference distributions. ACC was the only other conference to gain in during the pandemic. So the ACC was up $82 million in distribution through that fiscal year of the pandemic. And they distributed from $35 million to $38.1 million. ACC declined to comment on if Notre Dame was compensated as a full member or not. So Big 12 got the $34.7 million. And the Big 10, what did I say the Big 10 was at?
They were probably down because I don't think they played a full schedule.
Oh, right there, Big 10. They were down.
Yeah.
They paid out $43 million. But they still came in number two.
Jeez.
So it's been pretty difficult to watch the Pac-12 trail, watch the Pac-12 with poor management, watch the Pac-12 constantly be the joke of the Power Five conferences, and I'm starting to feel like things are turning.
Yeah.
It all goes to leadership, Scotty.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a part of me that wants to blame school presidents.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, and that's the thing. And look, Larry Scott deserves a lot of blame, and Larry was not particularly good. But this was a lot on the presidents who were obviously looking at the fact of, well, remember, there was that issue, that story that came in about how COVID was causing all these athletes' hearts to collapse and all these guys were dying because of heart failure out there. Well, obviously that wasn't the case. And so, you know, but that was in the minds of all these presidents, and they're thinking lawsuits, and they're thinking we're going to be killing kids out there and we can't be doing this. And then so, you know, a school president's always going to be on the side of caution. Whereas in the SEC, they're like, fine, let's go. Let's just play.
Yeah, and you wonder what side is the right side. I don't know what side's the right side.
Yeah. I mean, the SEC put itself out there. I mean, they were pretty gutsy. Now, in the long run, everybody, for the most part, I can't think of anything, if I'm wrong, but I don't remember any athlete coming down with a serious issue of COVID to put him in the hospital. Certainly don't remember any athlete dying of COVID. And remember, there was a report that came out that was circulating around some of these school presidents that somebody did a simulation and said you will have like 10 to 15 players die of COVID, which
wasn't the case.
Which wasn't the case by any stretch.
Not the way the SEC managed it or any of these other conferences. At least it seems like it. And we might be missing something, but I got to imagine it would have been the biggest story and we probably would have remembered it.
It just feels like the Pac-12, and I think this is a smart move from a PR standpoint. If I'm advising George Kliavkoff, I'm telling him to do exactly what he's doing right now. You want to let everybody know where your starting point is right now. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't beat around the bush. You tell everybody what you're starting with, because right now there's really only one way you can go if you're the Pac-12, and that's up. And anything that happens that will be a positive, you get direct credit for. And so you lay it all out there and you say, look, we were down $15 million per team per distribution. Our previous, you know, like somebody takes over as president of the United States, it doesn't matter how good the president was before him. He's going to run him through the ground and said, this guy sucked. And he's going to put all the bad news out there, unemployment and the economy and all this stuff, because he wants to set a base level of how bad things are, because anything that happens good after that, you get to take credit for. And so if I'm advising the Pac-12, I'm like, look, you lay it all on the bed of Larry Scott and you say, this is why this happened. We're getting out of San Francisco. Our guys are working from home. We're going to do this and this and this. We're saving a ton of money. We're going to distribute more to our individual institutions. And this is the way we're going to proceed going forward. And everybody's going to be like, yes, mm-hmm. Give us more money, run this thing better, because Larry Scott was a train wreck and you can get this thing going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to have to provide results here pretty soon. And I think he's capable of it, but it's a smart move to make by the Pac-12 to say, look, this is where we're at right now. It's not great. It's bad.
You know, I look at this, Scotty, and I do think that we all need to take a step back, take a step away from heavy, heavy criticism. Because I felt like through that process, I was just thinking back to it. Through that process, do you remember leadership was having to protect people from themselves? Because I think every college athlete was ready to play.
Yeah.
I think every college coach was ready to play. Every college athlete I know of and every college coach I know of was ready to coach and ready to play.
Yeah.
they were all being held back. Every one of them was being told, nope, you can't. They were all ready to go, and they were being told you can't. Now, it turns out that as far as COVID's concerned with college athletes through that through those years where the SEC went and played, it turns out that it wasn't as deadly as maybe some would have thought, and they got away with it. But let's say that it wasn't. Let's say there were multiple people that picked it up. Let's say that somewhere down the road we find that those college athletes that did get it in that time are suffering long-term damage. We still don't know the full effects of that.
Yeah, it's true.
So maybe they were doing what was right because you saw there was no problem with the SEC. They were ready to play as many games and do whatever they could. Same with BYU. BYU was ready to play. BYU was scheduling Coastal Carolina, you know, in a week's time and doing what they possibly could to put together a football schedule and go play football, which panned out pretty good for a quarterback that went
Oh yeah, it did
pretty darn high in the draft.
Yeah.
So I'm trying not to be overly critical because I watched a lot of people trying to make the best decisions they could to maintain the health of student athletes and coaches that they're somewhat responsible for.
Yeah, and let me you know, you bring up a good point too, because let me rephrase what I said about the Pac-12. I had the Pac-12 been one of the first to say, look, we're not comfortable exposing our athletes. We don't know the effect long term this is going to have on our athletes.
And then just stick with it.
And stick with it, that'd be fine. But they were just following, okay, if Big Ten, are you playing? No? Okay, we're not playing. Big 12, are you playing? Yeah, we changed our mind. We're going to play. We're going to play too.
They were really going with the flow.
It was,
you're 100% right.
And that's where I had an issue.
It's not like they took this leadership position of, nope, we will not play a single down. And you guys can go play and you can put your student athletes at risk. We are standing our ground because we will protect our student athlete at all costs. No, they were like, wait, you're going to get six games in? All right, how many games can we get in? You think we can get five? Okay, well, we can still at least save some of our fiscal year off five games.
Yeah.
Let's go do it. You're absolutely right. There was no – they weren't making any true statements, and we really care about our student athletes. Well, we really care because we put them through three tests. Yeah, but you still put them on the field for five games. So do you really care? You didn't lead. You didn't make sure – you didn't put them in a bubble and say, none of you can get this – terrible affliction. You'll all die eventually of COVID lung. No, they didn't do that.
No.
So I'm with you. There is a lot of criticism to be heaped on
Larry Scott.
Larry Scott. There's a lot of criticism. Because he did. He ebbed and flowed. He went with the breeze. And anything we saw the Big Ten do, we knew the Pac-12 was soon to follow.
Yep.
The Mountain West Conference, what did they do through that?
Same thing. Yeah, they kind of followed suit.
It was the same as the Pac.
Yeah, I mean, and
like five games?
They shut it down, and then when they found out they could play, then they brought it back.
I have not seen the numbers for the group of five.
Yeah, I'll see if I can dig into that and find out.
I'll bet the Mountain West Conference took a beating.
Well, yeah, I think there was a... But, you know, here's the other thing that – and I talked to a lot of people up at Utah State about this. If there's a time in which your distribution, the fact that you're not being given a lot of money, worked in your favor, it was that. Because, their distribution is anywhere from like $3 to $4 million. And so you can withstand that little bit of a loss as opposed to the University of Utah, which lost $15 million.
Yeah.
Because you're already running your program so lean and mean, you can go to a couple boosters and say, hey, we need some help. And Utah State, to their credit, does not carry a lot of debt. You know, they've done some things, but those things have been paid off. And
right.
And so they're not, you know, Colorado State was in a bit of a hurt because they financed that brand new stadium that they built. They're leveraged to the hilt. Utah State really wasn't. And a lot of those smaller schools that don't have a lot of money coming in from a TV standpoint – we're able to handle this a little bit better.
Yeah, when you're expecting $36 million and you get $19 million, that's one thing as compared to when you're expecting $3 million and you get 1.2.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And remember the lending that went on?
Pac-12, I think there was only – I only remember hearing about one or two schools that actually took the Pac-12 up on that offer.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if there were schools that
I think we asked Harlan if they used that, and he said no, they did not have to.
But I do know there were some in the Pac-12 that took out
conference
loans.
A place like Cal. Cal is
– I don't know.
I don't know how they're surviving, honestly.
I don't know how they don't shut down the doors.
Yeah, and they probably should.
Their deficit is so terrible.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Brandon's with us. We're live here at Built Bar. So many great Built Bars to choose from. And there's a lot of people who have been eating Built Bars forever, but they've not tried the Puffs, Brenna.
Yeah.
These Puffs are awesome. Just incredible.
The Puffs are revolutionary because what is a chocolate-covered marshmallow that has 17 grams of protein? Where can you get that besides Built Bar?
Yeah.
Nowhere. It truly is crazy. I really don't know how they do it. It's amazing. It really is.
The only way you can do that is if you grind up two porterhouse steaks with a bunch of marshmallows. Yeah. That's not going to have as good a taste.
It's really crazy because a lot of marshmallow treats packed full of so much sugar because, you know, it's a marshmallow. Mm-hmm. But they have the Built Puffs are amazing, made with collagen protein, so it's easier for your body to absorb. Great for your joints, your hair, your skin, your nails. It has that creamy texture to it because of the collagen protein, I think, really adds that creamy factor, plus the 100% real chocolate. And like we said before, brownie batter is back on the website. People love, love, love the brownie batter puff. 17 grams of protein. I mean, that's crazy for a marshmallow covered in chocolate.
So, it's crazy. Yeah. It's incredible.
It really is.
I want to pat myself on the back just a little bit for a minute because.
Have you refrained from eating all of them? No. Are you going to bring some home to your family? Or are you going to hide them?
The birthday cake stash. Bar made it to Lloyd Cole.
Oh, good.
It made it all the way from here to Lloyd Cole.
It was dynamite.
4 or 5 day
Lloyd's
process.
Lloyd's with me on this one.
What'd you think? You like the birthday?
It was by far my favorite thing I think I've ever eaten.
Really?
It was amazing.
Me and Lloyd are on the same
The birthday on this one. Cake. Okay.
Yeah. I love the birthday cake.
That's surprising.
In fact, I got an order in on those now.
Brownie batter still holds position for me.
Yeah.
But
I like brownie batter.
The birthday
I'd
cake
say
was
better.
So good.
It's different, and I like it. It's the white chocolate, so it changes it up a bit.
Yeah.
Got the sprinkles, so it's fun. But, yeah, that's fun. I'm glad you got to try some.
Well, here's the thing. You got four of us talking right now, and we all have different flavors that we like. We all have different textures we like. And that's a great thing about Built Bar and Built Puffs. And I think eventually the granola is going to come back too, which those are phenomenal.
I know. It adds enough of crunch where it changes the consistency and it makes it interesting.
And so that's what I really like is that you've got all these different ways in which you can hit different palates out there.
100%. And I even know, like, sometimes in the morning I want the raspberry, but by lunch or like late afternoon I want the peanut butter or I want the brownie batter. And depending on my mood, I'm like, I definitely change what my go-to grab is.
Go to Built.com. Check out all the flavors. It's Built.com. Try the puffs. Try the bars. Let's go. Get that sample pack. Try all the flavors. You're going to find some that you truly love. You're going to like all of them, but you're really, truly going to fall in love with a few. Go to Built.com and find out which ones. That's Built.com. Promo code ZONE gets you 10% off.
This is DJ and PK. Pete Sampson covers Notre Dame for The Athletic.
To me, like the BYU game, it's going to be a really good barometer for Notre Dame because let's just mark Ohio State as a loss. Ohio State's probably the number one team in the country or top two or top three. BYU is the kind of game that Brian Kelly always figured out how to win. Can Marcus Freeman figure this one out too? Because if you can get BYU, then I think you're looking at 6-1, 7-1 going to Clemson in November and you got a chance to make a national statement. If BYU gets you and they're more than capable of doing that, then the narrative turns to like first time head coach, this is a rebuild, what's going on. It's going to be a very, very significant game, but I think the fan bases of both schools are going to make it a pretty awesome atmosphere.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Protected! It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. By the way, Jake Fisher, I don't know who he writes for, Bleacher Report, has written a story that said that Donovan Mitchell is expected to remain with the Jazz heading into the 2022-2023 season. So apparently, Donovan Mitchell is committed to the team through the summer. Well, you got 3 years left on your contract, big fella. Like,
this is a guy that's like sitting in the dark and he's like, well, I've got a dart in my hand. I know there's a dartboard on the wall somewhere. I guess my best chance is if I just kind of throw it straight in front of me, it might hit. Pretty good chance it'll hit. I'll just write a story about him staying. He is committed for 3 years.
He is. Yeah, I mean, you know.
You own his rights.
Yeah. Said, at this juncture, Bradley Beal and Donovan Mitchell are both expected to remain committed to Washington and Utah, respectively, this summer. But if any trade request did arrive, the Hawks could create as strong an offer as any suitor out there.
Do you think Donovan wants to be with the Jazz?
That's an interesting question. I think Donovan Mitchell is very cognizant of his public image. And I do think that while you do have the power to demand a trade, and oftentimes when you do demand a trade, you get that trade. But it does make you a bit of a heel to the rest of the league. And it does take a hit to your public image sometimes. And so do you want to be that guy? Like, you know, Giannis did not demand a trade from Milwaukee. It kind of felt like it was heading in that direction, but he doubles down with that organization, becomes a champion, and is treated like one of the good guys. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant now is gone from Oklahoma City, where he was, you know, hoisted as a guy that is loyal to the city and the area, that even though he's drafted by Seattle, but loyal to the community that drafted him. Well, then he goes to Golden State, wins the title. Now he's at Brooklyn. And that, look, he's still one of the best, if not, you know, one of the best players to ever play the game. But there's always that, like, he's a bit of a chaser. Mm-hmm. And he wanted out. And so that does, I don't know if it tarnishes it, but it carries with you in your career. And I think Donovan's cognizant of that. You can leave in free agency and not have that. But when you demand the trade and you force your way out, that does follow you around a little bit.
The reason I ask you that question, just in regards to this piece that you just mentioned, the reason I ask you that question is the only way Donovan Mitchell is not with the Jazz is if he does not want to be with the Jazz.
Correct.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think the Jazz are moving him because they don't believe in him. They can't win with him. I actually think Dwayne Wade probably loves Donovan because there's some comparisons there. And you know, I would hope Dwayne could work with some of Donovan's mental toughness, maybe some of his physical toughness. I would hope that Dwayne could make sure that the development on the court in finishing games and understanding the ball can't get stagnant in this offense. It has to continue to move, but at the same time, you got to find your looks and help him continue to grow as a player. But I think I've got to imagine Dwayne Wade just – feels like he's looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
To a certain extent with Donovan Mitchell. I feel like the only way Donovan Mitchell is not with the Jazz is if he decides he doesn't want to be here anymore.
Correct. And I think that was the point of this piece, is that the storyline is that apparently Donovan Mitchell is okay with being with the Jazz, at least through the summer, which is what they how they phrased it.
But things did feel a little bit unsettled, though, at times.
Oh, I think that's very clear and very easy to come to that conclusion.
And I think some of it was the team landscape, and I think some of it is the Utah political landscape.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of felt like Donovan was getting unsettled with this community and with the people and with the area. At least that was kind of the feeling I was getting.
Which is unfortunate to have that conversation.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's a horrible feeling. I really hope he doesn't feel that way, but it seemed like that through some of his social media posts. And I could be misreading it, and I would love to have Donovan on to explain that for himself, because I don't want to just read into his social media posts. But, Scotty, you saw the social media posts. They were pretty telling.
Well, and also, too, I think that you have to consider, again, from a PR standpoint, that might give you an easy out. You can say, look, you know what? This is a community that if you didn't want to be in Utah and you wanted to force a trade, that may be one way in which you could say, I want to move on and not be the guy that gets in, you know, that has that tarnish. Because you could say, like, this is a community that doesn't embrace me, doesn't embrace my values, which obviously is not true and would be very damaging to Salt Lake City and to the state of Utah if you were to go that route. I would rather just say, look, I want to go win a championship. I feel like we're in rebuild mode. I'm going to go somewhere else. That would be better than saying, yeah, no, this is a city that is not like me, doesn't like me, doesn't like who I am and what I believe in, and I have to leave because I'm not comfortable here.
That would be pretty hard.
That would be very, very damaging and very untrue as well.
Agreed.
For the most part. All right, Lloyd, let's get to Sports Roulette. Spin that sucker.
A ruling is coming.
Mentioned this in Good, Bad, and Ugly. Scotty, Deshaun Watson's attorney says that the NFL has concluded its interviews with Deshaun over the allegations. And he and Deshaun are now anticipating the league ruling coming down as soon as sometime early summer, potentially middle summer. But his attorney, Harden, said that he believes there's a couple of other people that the NFL wants to talk to. What are the odds the NFL sat down with the 22 women that are accusing Deshaun Watson?
I think they're going to – I don't know if it'll be all 22, but they'll sit down with some of them.
I'm hoping they sit down with all 22. I'm hoping that they sit down with the women and not just the women's attorneys.
Yeah.
You know, if there was an assault, if there was a – If there was a line that was crossed between Deshaun Watson and these masseuse that they claim was crossed, I would like them to be able to explain that to NFL officials, specifically Roger Goodell. And I would hope that Roger Goodell could look in the eyes of these potential victims and not just throw accusers to the side. That's what I would hope. Don't know if that's going to happen, but I got to imagine this is coming down pretty soon. I'm starting to build a bit of a projection, a guess of what we're going to see with Deshaun Watson.
What do you think?
I think it's going to be a season.
Man, I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
I think it's going to be a season.
I'm going to go 8 games.
I went back and looked at what happened with Ben Roethlisberger.
Yep.
Big Ben. It was an initial 6-game suspension for what happened in that Georgia bar with the co-ed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was reduced to 4 games, which makes no sense to me.
And there were no criminal charges, too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Which makes no sense to me. Because if it's good enough, if it's an assault and it's good enough for 6 games, well, why all of a sudden does that assault not worth 6 games? Make that make sense to me.
None.
Because if there was an assault that's worth 4 games, that assault is probably worth a season. And so, you know, diminishing that and taking away seems pretty horrific to the victims. Now, 2 of these victims that I spoke about, Good, Bad, and Ugly, are now speaking out against the Cleveland Browns for signing Deshaun Watson. I don't think this thing is going away anytime soon. I don't know if all 22 are telling the truth. But it's really hard for me to believe that all 22
are lying.
Have made up a big story.
100% agree.
And so I've got to imagine somewhere in all of this, even though the criminal justice system could not find it, in some of this, in somewhere, has to be evidence against the accusers, which at that point, the accusers need to be held as guilty and they need to be charged. If there's evidence against them saying, no, 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 it was consensual. No, you made up these lies. No, you were trying to extort money. No, you are a criminal. Or evidence supporting their claims showing that Deshaun Watson did in fact assault them or cross the line, harass them. In that case, it needs to be a year plus. In that case, you would hope the criminal system would go back and take a look at these claims and say, all right, well, what evidence did you find the NFL? Like if the NFL even suspends in one game, doesn't the criminal system have to go to the NFL and say, what did you find? Because we couldn't find anything.
But there's precedence for that.
But doesn't that make sense? Like if the NFL even is like one game for what? For disrupting the peace? Like what? One game for what? It's either a season or multiple seasons or it's nothing. It's what the criminal system did or it's, holy cow, we've got 22 women that were assaulted. He's not even going to play it down in our league again. So I guess I'm just out of trying to build a case and trying to figure this out with the criminal system and two grand juries not supporting criminal charges.
Yeah.
My mind comes to one thing, and that is the NFL kind of in an effort to say, hey, look, we're not going to dismiss the victims. We're going to support this, and the whole thing has been a disruption. We're going to give them a year.
Mm.
But isn't it to you, Scotty, if it's 1 year, shouldn't it just be a career? Like if 1 year tells me they found guilt. They found evidence.
But I think the NFL also looks at it from a standpoint, did you damage the image of the league? And they're, from their perspective, they're like, look, you know, there's a woman out there, and even Deshaun Watson says that she was crying when they left. Why would somebody who's a trained, certified masseuse or physical therapist, whatever title she had, why would she be in tears? And even Deshaun Watson admitted as such and sent an apologetic text to that person afterwards. Like something went down. Even Deshaun said, yeah, she was in tears and I don't know why, but she was crying at the end of our session. And so I sent her a text apologizing for if anything may have happened. Like the NFL's like, okay, bruh, you like, we know that there may not be a smoking gun here. There may not be something that the law can get you on, but we know, and we have a collective bargaining agreement. We can punish you for making the league look bad and not upholding our image. And you obviously did something. We're giving you 8 games or we're giving you 16 games.
You know, where you've got 22 civil cases going, if the NFL suspends him for a year on suspicion, on, you know, raising question, doesn't that support the civil cases?
It would seem that way. Yeah. And if I'm an attorney for those women in those civil cases, I go and I subpoena the NFL and say, look, we want to know what you found. Find. Yeah.
And if I'm the criminal system, I go to the NFL. I'm like, what'd you guys find?
Yeah.
You gave them a full year. What did you find? Well, we just the imaging of this text is not good.
Yeah, their burden of proof is not the same as the legal system. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Wrap this thing up. Get you ready for Unrivaled. Final segment straight ahead here on the Zone Sports Network.
Top 60 and 60. Every summer, you hear the selections on the Top 60 and 60. And every summer, you think to yourself, man, these guys are idiots.
Are we cheering for idiots?
Okay, smart guy. Now's your time to shine. Go to KSLSports.com for the Top 60 and 60 fan vote, where you can rank the 60 best college football players in Utah.
It doesn't make you better than me.
This year, the Zone will include your votes with the media selections to determine the best players in the state. Voting ends on June 1st, so go to KSLSports.com. It's the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Top Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hey, make sure to join the show. We'll be in Ogden coming up on Friday from 12 to 3. New Ways Mattress. They'll pay the sales tax with all purchases over $5.99. New Ways Mattresses, 3699 Washington Boulevard, up there in O-Town.
This will be the first show, the first Hanson Scotty show, that will be billed and delivered in full with us laying on a bed in our jammies.
Okay.
I'm wearing my sweats.
Can we at least have the split king?
So yes. That,
okay.
Yes.
That's all I ask for.
I want the split king. I want my head elevated. Maybe, you know what? Maybe each of us take a twin. And we don't have to share the king.
See, that's... I was thinking if we had to be in the same bed, at least we'd split.
It's so. Split. I don't know what I want my number to be at. I'll dial up an 8. You'll dial up a 24.
At least you don't need to show up with your air mattress pump again.
I do not have the number bed. I do not know what my number is.
Oh, man.
Did you bring the pump, or did Jan and OC have the pump?
I brought my own.
Oh, I've got a picture of him. Him in his BYU sweatshirt and an air mattress pump.
And my blow-up bed. Lloyd, myself, OC, and Jan Jorgensen planned a sleepover because, I don't know, they were watching some dumb show.
Sons of Anarchy.
I can't believe I know this story better than you do. Because this was like, I've heard this. It was the season... Or the series finale of Sons of Anarchy?
Yes.
It was some dumb show.
Did you even know? Had you even watched it?
I hadn't watched a single second of it, but I was so excited to be included with the guys. And they were like inviting me, and I had four young kids at the time. And
you're like, I want to get away from that.
Yeah, so I packed up my bed real quick, got my jammies, and headed over to OC's to come to find out that. It was one of the most, and no offense to OC or Jan, it was one of the most disgusting environments I've ever
seen. No, that place was a crime scene.
It was a crime scene. Those two dogs, Mr. President and Lil Jerry, what were they, Conic Corso?
Yep.
English Mastiff-like dogs.
I just saw on OC Social, Mr. President just passed.
I know.
It made me feel bad.
At probably 11 or 12 years old.
That was a big mamba jamba.
Huge. 200 pounds. And these dogs had slobber and hair. Hair stuck in slobber on everything. I sat on the couch and I moved my arm and I kind of wiped my face like this.
Oh.
And I left slobber across my chin. So I'm like, I don't know if I can make it the night here. Like, I really, because I love spending the night. I'm still 12, you know, like asking mom, hey, can I stay the night?
That's why my wife put out a sign when we watched that fight, there will be no sleepover.
Which bummed me out. Because I brought my sleepover gear to your house.
I know.
I thought we were doing a sleepover at your place.
Remember he cooked for us on that George Foreman grill that was just like, that thing was a crime scene as
okay,
well.
Okay, that was them. That's not me.
No.
Let's maybe clarify. I have no George Foreman here.
No, see, that's the problem. Like, your place would have been the perfect place to stay the night because I could have had one of those, you know, French soda specialty drinks to start my day off with. It would have been real nice.
Yeah.
Their house, I would have had a fried egg off a crusted George Foreman that would probably have given me salmonella. It was so bad.
When you pack up and leave, you know it's not good.
No, and I did. I grabbed my bed and my pump, and I got my little night sack, and I was like, guys, I can't do it.
It's like, well, we got to be up in like 4 hours to do a show.
Like, first of all, this show sucks. Second of all, that veggie burger on the George Foreman with the pickled asparagus was disgusting.
That's what I forgot about.
Yeah, he topped it with pickled asparagus. And I was like, that's disgusting. It was the worst sleepover of my life. Well, it was the worst near sleepover of my life.
Wow.
Did have a good laugh, and we did have a fake lightsaber fight, which was interesting. OC's got lightsabers. OC's he's a nut with that stuff.
Yeah,
he likes Star Wars. Sean O'Connell, for those of you,
I think the last time
Pac-12
I saw
Network and stuff.
I think the last time I chatted with OC was at a Star Wars movie. I was taking my kids to. He was coming out of the theater. I was going into it.
You saw him there?
Oh yeah.
He was probably one of the characters, like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It was only Johnny that I've seen dress up for a Star Wars movie.
Johnny Lightfoot. Art Tech.
Yeah. All right. Hans and Scotty, that wraps it up for us. Brenna's with us. We're live here at Built Bar. All right, Brenna. There's been so many great bars to choose from.
So many.
Wait a minute. What is this puff here?
Is that the coconut?
Oh, coconut marshmallow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. I thought that was one of the bars, but that's a coconut marshmallow
coconut
puff.
Coconut marshmallow puff. It's pretty good.
It's
I like
really
it.
Good.
Yeah.
That's kind of the base puff right there.
Yeah. They started with that and kind of built. Mm-hmm. Churro's really good, too. The banana cream pie. And then, you know, brownie batter just has your heart. But there's so many things to choose from. Right now, Grasshopper Cookie is back. The Built Bar Grasshopper Cookie. It's dusted with Grasshopper Cookie pieces, covered in 100% chocolate. It's amazingly 17 grams of protein. When you think you're getting a treat, it's amazing. Definitely want to add this to your cart if you're a Grasshopper Cookie fan. The Puffs Mix Box, if you're new to Puffs and haven't tried a Built Puff yet, yes, the Puffs are the 100% chocolate covered marshmallow that also packs a punch with protein. If you haven't tried those, you can get those as well. And the Brownie Batter Puff is on the website. So many great offers. Definitely check it out. It's been so fun hanging out with you guys.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
It reminds me of college when I come and I hang out with you guys. You know, when you go to the library with all your buddies and you have like a class together, but you just talk the whole time.
Yeah, sit around a chair.
That's what this reminds me of. It like brings me so much joy.
Oh, we get nothing done here.
It's, no, yeah, there's nothing.
Well, you guys are working, but I just feel like I'm hanging out with my friends.
And our grades show it too. Yeah.
It's great. Whatever.
No, we love hanging out, Brenna. And
it's so fun.
And thanks for having us. And thanks for putting together these great specials. And, you know, you do a great job representing
Thank
these bars.
You.
I want people to understand, if you're in the keto, if you're in the calorie counting, if you're in the Weight Watchers, all of those things, these bars fit in all of those categories.
100%. They're great for, you know, those dietary restrictions, if you're counting macros, like you said, because they have amazing things you can deduct for the net carbs and stuff, like the fiber and the sugar alcohols.
Yep.
Because they keep it so low. So, yes, this is a great treat for keto.
And delicious.
Delicious.
Yes. That's what separates them.
Yep,
indeed.
For sure.
Let's go. All you have to do is go to built.com, promo code ZONE. Is going to get you 10% off. So get there now. Promo code ZONE, 10% off at built.com right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.